Good morning. Boy, it's good to see everybody here. And it's a beautiful day. It is. Every day is a great day to be alive. Every day is a great day to rejoice. And I have to share with you this morning, we were on the way to church, and as Carrie and Janine were carrying on a conversation, I just felt the Lord really dealing with my heart this morning. And God said, when you get to the church, I just want you to spend time with me in prayer. So I went upstairs to the office, and I got up there and sat down and sat for a few moments and got into prayer. And I'll tell you what, when you get into prayer with God and you make that connection and you just let His Spirit lift you and you let Him fill you, I'm telling you what, there's a powerful environment that happens all around you. And I mean, it is the most precious thing to feel the hand of God come down and just touch you, because this last week's been kind of a hard week. I've still been dealing with a lot of, but there's been a lot of other things going on, a lot of emotional things, a lot of things going on in this world. And you know, we have to release things to God. We have to give things up to Him. And we have to, by faith, walk with Him and trust Him each and every day, knowing that He's by our side. We can never get in front of God. We should never be beside God. We should always be behind God, following in His footsteps. And I think this sermon today should really awaken our hearts to who God is and who we are in Him. So if you would, turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And when you get there, if you're able, I would like to ask you to please stand as I read from God's Word. Today's sermon is, "We Are Wonderfully Created." And oh, are we ever wonderfully created. Genesis 2:7 reads, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, your love, your power. Thank you, Father, that you have divinely created us. And you've called us for a purpose, Lord. And Father, as the power of your word has gone forth this morning, let it be planted into our hearts and lives, God, that we may meditate upon it, that we will grow upon it, that, Father, it will take root inside of us and change who we are. And Lord God, as I preach this message today, Father, reveal to us the wonderfulness of your creation. That's us, your children. And Father, let us be drawn close to you, and let us drop everything that's unnecessary in our lives and just be focused on you, Lord. And let us fix our relationships with you today, Father, in Jesus' name. And as I preach this message, Lord, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. And it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 reveals the divine creation of all humanity. It highlights our humble origin from dust and our exalted status as direct recipients of God's breath, which gives us our life. This also shows our intimate connection with the Creator, our purpose to serve Him, and our total dependence on Him for life. Now, I want you to just for a moment forget everything in your life. And if you can look just out the windows, if you even observed it this morning, everything around you, God created. And God created it beautifully. God created it for a reason and a purpose. Now, everything that God created, He spoke it into existence. God spoke everything into existence. God gave everything order, and God commanded it all to be as it is. And when God got done creating it, He looked back and He was very well pleased with everything He created. But then it came to us. God knew that He wanted to have fellowship. And I want you to really focus on this. God wanted to have fellowship, and that is why God created you and I, so that we could have fellowship with Him. And it is so divinely important that we have this fellowship. It is so utmost importance that we seek God on a daily basis because of what He did for you and I. So, the material, the body, it was formed from the ground, the dust. So when Adam and Eve were formed, well, when He formed Adam, He took the ground of this earth. From the earth He created, He drew from that dust, and He formed man, He formed a physical body, and then God breathed life into his nostrils, and when He breathed, God was breathing, listen to this, God breathed Himself into Adam. He gave him His life. He gave him His spirit. He made him a living soul, a living being. And with that, have you ever thought about how wonderful this creation is, this body? That this body, it was designed by God. God just didn't go, well, I think I'll just do it. God had a specific plan. And I've listened to doctors who have said, I don't understand how things happen within the body, but there's doctors who have said, I've seen miracles take place that we couldn't do, man couldn't do. There had to be a higher power. Well, yes, there is, and His name is God the Father. But He created us. He formed us. So that means that God is active. He was intentional in what He did. He's not a distant force because everything was made by Him. And being created from the dust of the ground, it represents our humble, mortal origin and our connection to the earth. Now, don't go around saying, Brother Jim's talking about Mother Earth. Now, I'm not talking about Mother Earth. God formed this earth and we came from it. And we are mortal beings. Now, do you know that when Adam and Eve were created, do you realize they were immortal? They were. In the Garden of Eden, they were immortal. They did not know physical death. But the moment that they sinned, then death came upon the body. But God, and here's the amazing thing. When God saw that Adam was alone, that he needed a helpmate, It says that God put Adam to sleep and took a rib from his side. And then He created woman. And He made woman to be beside the man. He didn't take a bone from the foot for woman to be under a man's foot. She's right there by his side. So God created these two perfect and wonderful beings and placed them in the garden. And they had fellowship with God. They had everything they ever wanted. They were made perfect. But then the moment that they sinned, and they were cast out of the garden, the immortality that they had soon became mortal, and things were set into motion because of our sin, our falling, and God knew that we needed a Savior, which is why He sent Jesus. But you know what? Our total existence is all dependent upon God, because if He created us from the ground and He breathed life into us, then His breath is within us. Now when babies are born today, we know how babies get here, don't we? We're all adults. And we all know how babies are formed. We all know that babies are born, but they are still created by God, and God gives them the valuable gift of life. And those babies grow up. And see, God has given us a responsibility as Christian people to live for Him, to give ourselves, and to always be humble in His presence. We should thank God every day for the breath that's in our lungs, that He gave it to us. And I want to say this, and I want us to all think on it very clearly and take it to heart. The breath that God put into the life of a Christian person, those of us who have received Christ, that breath ought to be used to praise God, to serve God, and not to speak anything negative, hateful, or evil, or anything that would divide the body of Christ. We are made in God's likeness. Did you realize that? God didn't make you to look like anything else but His likeness. He formed you. And I should not kid about this, because you know me, I kid a lot, and I go around and say, well, I ain't the prettiest thing in the world. But you know what? Truthfully, every single person that was created by God is beautiful. Because if you were created in God's likeness, then you are very beautiful. We should not stand around saying, well, and I ain't picking on nobody, so don't get all over me for this. But there's people go around saying, well, I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm too wide. I'm too thin. I'm not this. I'm not that. And we try to compare ourselves with other people that we're around. Well, I wish I was like him. I wish I was like her. We hear all this all the time. God created us for a sole purpose, and He gave us our own unique life. And with the life that He put inside of us, He also gave us a divine set of gifts. Every single one of us were set apart for a reason, and God saw your purpose in this world, and God knew that He had a reason for you being here. And I think that it is time that we as Christian people quit acting like casual Christians, and that we actually get out and start doing the job that God called us to do, instead of standing around complaining about the weather or complaining about the elements or the environment or what's going on in the news or what's going on, the gossip in someone else's life. The breath that He put inside of us, we should use it to tell others about Jesus. We should use it to praise Him. We should use it to honor Him and glorify Him. I'm guilty of not doing that a lot of the times. We should not allow the heaviness of this life to weigh us down to a point where God's creation feels like they are a deflating balloon and that they don't have any life inside of them. Christ came and died for you. God breathed life into you, and we have every reason to be alive today, and we have every reason to praise Him. The significance of this creation, we are fragile. Listen to this, please. We are dependent creatures. Without God, we are only dust. And we need God to give us life and spiritually as well. Now, when you were created physically, He breathed life into you. When you became a Christian and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He gave you life again. He gave you life spiritually. He breathed into you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was placed there to be your guide, to be your help, to be your rock, to be your stability. The Holy Spirit was given to us so that we could testify of the things of God, that God could speak to us through our hearts, through His Holy Spirit. We are so fragile without Him. And that is why God does not want us to try and live this life without Him in it, because you will surely fail and you will surely fall flat on your face. How many times have I done that? I am not worried about anybody else. I am trying to fix Jim Cooper. I am trying to make Jim Cooper what God wants him to be. But yes, I have fallen flat on my face because so many times I was self-reliant and I said, I can do this. I can do it all, Lord. I don't need you right now. And I've fallen flat on my face. And every time the Lord says, child, I've been there for you. I've loved you, but I'm here to pick you up. And see, the thing is, we are forgiven when we ask for forgiveness of sins. And I preached this last week, that there is no guilt of sin upon us when He forgives us. So we have to realize that God gives us this physical life and He also gives us the spiritual life. And we have to trust Him with every aspect of life. Every time, I remember going to Carbondale Hospital, and I think they probably still do it. I'd be walking the hallway and all of a sudden, I would hear Brahms' Lullaby playing over the loudspeakers. And I'm thinking, Lord, thinking to myself, Lord, You've given us another beautiful baby, another life. It's Your creation. Have You ever held a baby in Your arms? And you just feel the love. And what you're feeling is not love from the baby. You're feeling God's love being emitted through that baby. Because that baby is pure. That baby doesn't know anything yet. And what God is wanting us to do is take these babies and give into their life what He's putting into ours. And God is saying, through these babies, He wants, they're also a role model for us, that they are pure. And if you ever watch, when they grow up as children, they have faith. They believe in what goes on in life. They don't have any doubts. They don't have any kind of fears. And that's what God's wanting out of you and I. God has given us this spiritual life, and God wants us to know that we can draw from Him, that we can also abide in that faith, that we can also abide in that peace. That's why God wants us as His children to have a childlike faith, which means there are no boundaries to our trust. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit is just all over me this morning. The impartation, the breath of life. Now, this is where it gets real. He breathed, God breathed into His nostrils. So this is what it is. This is personal. It's an intimate act of impartation, and it sets humans apart from all other creation. God breathed life into you. He didn't breathe His life into these trees. He didn't breathe His life into the grass or the rocks or the hillsides. He breathed His life into you. That means God picked us. If He created you, He picked you. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, the Bible says. And if He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb, then that tells me that God knows everything about me already, and that God knows my life, and that God will always be there through it. But He breathed into me. Nobody else did. Now, I was thinking about this morning. I was sitting in the chair, and I was thinking back to the time, and I'm sure Sarah could probably attest to this. I don't know. I'm sure Sarah's worked what they call a full arrest, or it's called a heart attack, where the person's out. They're literally almost either have died or they're almost to die. But when I was a paramedic, I went through training. I went through a lot of schooling. And I won't forget the first time I ever got to go on a call. And there was a bunch of people. And we had all of these artificial methods. And we're trying to get air into that human body. And I was thinking about that this morning. And I've known of cases where people, they were saved. And I believe it's always by the hand of God, not by our power. But by artificial means, we're trying to get breath into that body because we want that person to live. We want them to be alive again. We want them to be all right. Even greater than that, God breathed life into us. And when He did, He gave us the ability to come to Him and worship. God gave us an ability to come to Him and pray. God gave us the ability to have fellowship with each other. He did not create us to be on this earth to point a finger at somebody else and put them down, or to make fun of them, or to gossip about them, or because of their attitude or how they live, that we should run them through the gutter with our own words. God put us here to love, to serve, to have fellowship. So the breath that is within us, it's an impartation. It came from God, and it should only be used for God's purpose and God's glory. It's not just oxygen. It is a spirit and a life force of God Himself. It's a part of God, and we've got to recognize that, and we've got to put it at work in our own very life. It didn't come from anybody else. Breath came from God. And there, each of us, well, I won't say all of us, because I tell you what, everything going on in the world right now, I believe Jesus is coming. I don't know what day or hour. The Bible says we don't know it. But I'll tell you this, I want the Lord to start breathing life back into Christian people. And we're at a point as a church that we need to be praying. And we need to say, Father, we are a valley of dry bones, and we need You to breathe life on us again. We need You to bring us about spiritually and awaken us from our dead state, and that we can go and tell the world the good news that Jesus saves. The significance of this, everything is a borrowed breath. It came from God, nothing of ourselves, and it highlights our continual dependence on Him. I can't depend on Mike Golson for my breath or my life. I mean, I can go up to Mike and say hello, good morning, how are you? Shake hands with him, maybe talk about DaVinci Sports Water, and that's a wonderful thing that I get to have fellowship with my brother in Christ, Mike Golson. But he can't give me the life. He can't give me this breath. He can't give me anything like that because he does not possess that power. The power came from heaven above, from God the Father on the throne. He gave us this life. And in this life, we should rejoice. We should be happy. We should be singing praises. When we come to church, when we are out in the public, when we are at work, when we're at home by ourselves, and even in the midst of turmoil and troubles, we should be praising God. Because when we praise God, it causes God to move up in heaven. God sees our heart, and God sees that we're calling out to Him, and He knows that we're depending on Him, and God will answer, and God will move. And God says He will pour out His Spirit. I tell you what, we need to be right now. We need to be a nation of people, a Christian people, that's confessing their sins and asking God to forgive us, and we need to be asking God to heal our land and pour out His Spirit and breathe life back into us again. But we totally depend on God every step of the way. Now, the result, a living being. Man became a living being. That's a combination of the dust, the body, and the breath, which is the Spirit, and that creates a living soul. We are created in God's likeness. Now, that's found in Genesis chapter 1, verses, I'll just read verse 27. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. So right there's your proof, there's your evidence. God created you in your likeness. So quit complaining about how God made you. He made you beautiful. You need to be telling yourself, I am God's child. I am beautiful because of Him. His glory shines through me. Now, I'm not saying this to elevate myself. This is just something that I've never had really had anybody say this. But my friend Rob Landis, I've known him since, well, about junior high or so. Known his whole family. Well, Rob's got a wonderful wife, and he's got three wonderful kids. And one day, I was in Rob's store. That's where Janine works. I was in the store there one day, and his daughter Libby was there. She was home visiting, and I came in, and Libby came out, and she saw me, and she goes, "Hi, Jim!" And she was just all lit up. You could see the Lord just radiating out of her. And she walks up, and she has her arms like this, wanting a hug. And so, you know me, if I hug people, it ain't going to give you cooties or nothing to hug folks. It's not going to give you cooties, and you're not going to die from it. I tell you know what a hug is? A hug is healing. A hug, oh, it feels good, doesn't it, to have some, even if it is from the side, it's wonderful to get a hug from somebody. But I remember Libby come out, she gave me this big hug, and I mean, she wrapped her arms so tight around me, and I just gave her just a squeeze, and I could just feel the love coming out of her. And after we got done hugging, we're standing there talking, And Libby looked at me, and she said, "Can I tell you something?" I said, "Sure." She said, "When I look in your eyes," she said, "I see love." She said, "They're the most beautiful eyes I've seen." And know this, the Bible says that the eyes, they're the lamp of the body. And what's inside your body and what comes out, the world will see it and the people will know it. Are people seeing the love of the Lord radiating out of your eyes? Does it reflect? Does it shine brightly? Now, I found that to be the greatest compliment right there, but I give God the glory for that. I can't take glory for it. I want to allow Him to use me every day. Now, last night, we went to see our son and daughter-in-law, and then we went to go eat, and we saw our grandson. He stayed around to work. He was off. But he stayed around to see us. And when we left, I tell you what, that boy, he's in his early 20s. He's got a lot going on. But when he gives Grandpa a hug, I feel like my spine is coming out through my ribs. But I tell you what, I wouldn't trade that hug for anything else in this world. I love them hugs from my grandson. And boy, when we left there last night, And we were with some family and friends yesterday at a birthday party. And there was this little bitty boy, a year and a half old. And he just kept looking at me and he was grinning. And so I picked up this little plastic ball and I walked up to him and his dad's holding him. I said, "Do you want to catch the ball?" I said, "Put your hands out." And so he put his little hands out and I didn't throw the ball at him because I knew he couldn't. But I would place the ball in his hands and I would stand back and go, "Yay, you did so great." And that little boy would just smile and laugh. And then I would do my hands like this. I'd say, "Throw me the ball." And he would take that little hand and he'd throw the ball. And through all of this, this is what I'm trying to say, is it's the beauty of life. It's the beauty of relationships. It's the beauty of what God wants to do with His people. But you know what the people have to do? The people have to get out of the way. The people have to get out of the world, and the people have to get out of the flesh and to start live by the Spirit so that God can breathe life into us spiritually, and that we will start to have an effectiveness on the people that are around us. Now, God was doing that through me with that little boy yesterday. I don't know how many times I handed him the ball and I stood back. But finally, it was time for his family to leave, and I missed that. Boy, I wish I could do that again today. I could spend hours doing that with that child. But here's what I found out. This is what the Lord showed me through it all. Such a young, trusting soul. He was trusting me that I would be easy and gentle with him. And that's exactly what he got. And that's what God's wanting you to know today. God is wanting you to know that you can trust him. That you know he is an easy and a gentle God. He's loving. He's powerful. And he wants to pour into us the joy of everything that he wants us to experience. We are image bearers. This act confers unique dignity and purpose to humanity. And we are called to serve. We are designated to reflect God's character and steward or serve his creation. That's what we're here for. And through all of that, we have creation and dependence. This is what I want you to get out of this today. Creation and dependence. God is the potter and we are the clay. That means we have to allow him to form us and mold us. We have intimacy with God. God's direct interaction with humanity. Now I just want to say something here real quick. God gives you every moment to be intimate with him. What are you choosing to do with your moments? Are you choosing to gripe and complain? Are you going to choose to praise and serve him and have that intimate time? I tell you what, there ain't nothing better than intimacy with God. I got to experience that this morning. I wanted to sit in Sunday school, but I tell you what, when God tells me to go away and pray, that's what I need to go do. And that's the intimacy that I want to have with my Father in heaven. Because I'm telling you what, when he puts his arms around you and he gives you a hug and he pours his power into you, it ain't like nothing else on the face of this earth. And then humanity's worth, this is what God does for us. We are valued, we have a purpose, and we are designed for relationship. So see, that's the wonderful creation of God. I mean that he took the dust of the earth and that he made us who we are, that we can think, that we can go to work, that we have the ability to come up with ideas, that we have the opportunity to love and serve. I tell you what, friends, I don't want to let any other time go by me that I let things pass me up in life that God wants me to do. So as the old hymn says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And though none go with me, I still will follow. But Lord, let my life be a praise and a blessing to thee. That's what I want my life to be. How about you? You're wonderfully created.